Welcome back to Lily Logic. I am Lily. Yep, that's my grandmother name. It's my childhood nickname, and it's the name that represents Lisa Smith Henderson without Christy Tanner persona. Now, my old morning show partner, Ed Yarb, who I call Eddie, we were
Right.
Christy and Eddie. He
And I
started.
say former as opposed to old.
Oh, excuse me, former, not
Oh,
Ed.
yeah. I
But
was never sensitive to that until I actually got old.
Eddie and I were partners. We had a great time. We've kept our friendship up over the almost ensuing 30 years. And you have been kind enough to be on Lily Logic a couple of times. And last time we were talking about sort of I guess my dilemma in a way of the things my mother had taught me that were incorrect, some of which were correct. And full disclosure here, we recorded a whole second show. And in that second show, I said, I just want a lover. And you were so nice. You were like, that's interesting. That's interesting. Like when you're looking at somebody's bad art. And so in the time in between, I had this revelation of like, ooh, maybe I really don't want just a lover. Maybe I want the whole package. So, what I wanted to talk about with you, and because you and I have both grown spiritually, kind of along the same lines, is I was afraid to say, I want another soulmate. I want a life partner. I want a lover. I want all of it.
Right. Well,
And
I felt like you were saying that all along. That's why I was just listening. I was in listening mode for once, and because you kept telling me a lot of things, and I was thinking that you want the whole deal, but you were piecing it together piece by piece. And eventually, I think you came around to knowing that a soulmate is the whole package. It's a lover, it's a mentor, it's a companion. You said you wanted all that, you just didn't put a label on it.
yes, and I think there's being widowed a couple of years out now. I don't think anybody prepares you for how hard it is to lose a spouse that you were in love with. And Michael was my soulmate. And I think there's a level of, I already had my shot, so I don't deserve another shot at love like that, of a
Right.
soulmate quality. But what I realized, Eddie, and this is what I wanted to talk to you about, is how we undersell ourselves.
Yeah, I found it interesting that you didn't say right now, you didn't tell me that maybe that's all I was supposed to have. You only get that shot once in life. You literally just said you felt like you didn't deserve it. And that pretty much is underselling yourself. Maybe you weren't ready for it. We can go into all that if you want, but the important thing is that you mentioned that you didn't deserve it. So let's talk about that for a little bit.
Yeah, let's talk about that. And because this isn't just a therapy session for me, even though it may appear to be that, and oh, you are a good therapist. But for anybody who's listening, who's struggled with claiming exactly what they want and the steps that it takes to get exactly what we want. So your turn to reflect.
Well, I think we're here on this planet to get everything that we want. This is what I'm finding out as you get older, you start trying to figure out how things actually work in the universe. You look back at your life and how did I get here? And if anyone watching this looks back at their life and you're in a content place, let's just say you're alive. And how did you get here? Everything that happened was by design or by choice. You're given opportunities to make decisions. You're given opportunities to turn things down. But ultimately, where you are, and I say bottom line, minimal standard. If you're alive, you're in a good place because it can always get better. And I believe that everything works in our favor to put us in that position. So I believe right off the bat that we deserve to get everything we want. The problem comes in when we sell ourselves short and figure out like we don't deserve it. If we don't take that chance at something, we'll never know. There's another soulmate out there for you, I feel. And if you never feel worthy of it, you're never going to have it. So if you want to get out of your own head, you're not just depriving yourself of a soulmate, you're depriving that soulmate of ever meeting you. So you're not just, the decision you're making is not just affecting yourself, it's affecting another person's opportunity to meet you and to possibly be that soulmate. I think everything works in our favor. And hey, at this point, if we haven't learned anything, we should learn that take a few chances. Life is a total redo. I mean, if you watch City Slickers, I think it was, life is all about redos.
I love it. I love it. Good Mel Brooks, right?
Yeah, I think
Yeah.
Mel Brooks did City Slickers. I
Yeah.
know Billy Crystal was in it, and
Yeah.
yeah, but I mean, we're at this age and we didn't get here by accident. We all had failures, but what did we do? We didn't quit. We just picked ourselves up. Think of how many radio jobs you and I have had. If we quit at failure, it would have been the shortest radio career ever.
And okay, so here's what I'm thinking is, and there's certain arenas where it's easier for me to do this. It's easier for me to put myself up there, out there with something I'm really secure about and passionate about.
The guaranteed outcome.
Or I feel like if, for example, somebody said to me the other day that I used to work with in radio that was in sales. He was like, "Well, who's your demographic?" I was like, "I don't know." He goes, "How are you monetizing it?" And I said, "I'm not. I'm doing this because I love to do it. I want to help someone. If it helps someone, great. That is the intention." But I never went out thinking, oh, "What if I can't do a podcast? Oh my God."
Right.
And so I didn't think about, is it a success or is it a failure? If one person listens and gets something from it, in my mind, that's a success. However, am I going to say, "E, I want to be madly in love for the next decade of my life"? Yeah, that's a little scary. And so I kind of talked myself into thinking, "Ooh, I don't want that." So how often do we do this in life where we go, "Nah, I don't really want it," whereas we really want it, but we're afraid either we can't get it or that we will get it.
I think we have to tell ourselves that we need to be in love with the journey, not the end destination. I think in your situation, I want a soulmate, I want a lover. Putting that stamp, putting that criteria of literally everything when you set out, you're going to walk this path with blinders on. You're going to be focused on that. How many opportunities do we have that come at us from each side of life that we steer off to? And it's like, oh, that was a really good thing. So I think we need to be in love with the journey.
I love that idea because the outcome is never guaranteed.
No. I think you should reward yourself and say that you're proud of the fact that you're ready to begin this again. It's all about little successes. You're ready to entertain that idea. I understand about you and your husband, and maybe that was the stumbling block. This is your once in a lifetime. Am I being disloyal? Am I deserving of this? That's real easy to do. And how often do we hear, yes, they would have wanted this for you? That's true. Think of your own situation. If the situation was reversed, would you, how could you put the limitation on your soulmate? When I'm gone, I don't want you ever to have fun again. That's not a soulmate, that is a prison ward. So, but setting the intention or the goal is great, but be happy with the journey because that's where it all starts. And you never know where that soulmate's coming from. I mean, if you could just go and order him online and drive out to the store and pick him up, yeah, that's.
Well, I've been trying that on Match.com with no success.
Yeah, that's an errand. That's not a journey. That's an errand.
But you know what's so great about all of this, Eddie, and this is what I'm learning in this process, is every single step is a learning experience.
Right.
Every job I got fired from, I learned something.
Right.
Every bad boss I ever had, I learned something like, A, I don't want to work for somebody like that, or B, they taught me this. And I think it's the same thing with dating at this age and looking out there. It's like, oh, I learned from the last guy that I told I just wanted a lover who was very unavailable. Like, well, I want a lover for more than one day a week.
Right.
Okay, well, Well, then what do I really want? And I think this applies all the way around. Like, if I want to be healthy, what do I have to do? And do I have to get clear, like, oh, I kind of want to be healthy, or I want to be really healthy?
Yeah, and then you can even break that down. Do I want to be off my medication? Do I want to be thinner? Do I want to just feel better? What does healthy mean to you? What does soulmate or companion mean to you? It never hurts to write these things down. You know, make your list, make that checkoff list. But yeah, going back to the job situation, life is all about a series of experiences and learning. Did you ever take another job that was worse than your previous job? Not ultimately, initially. It was always a better situation.
It appeared to be. And if it wasn't, I quit. I quit one job after 2 weeks because I would break out in hives every day before I went to work. And I was like, okay, this is not the right job for me. But
Right.
yes, I think we're attracted to what appears to be better.
Or ultimately, what works temporarily to propel us to the next thing. This is what I mean when life is always moving in our favor. Even that temporary job, which turned out to be crappy, showed you what you don't want in another job. I was at a job where I made more money than I ever did in my life, which was great. I was literally plucked out of a situation where I was okay doing with what I'm doing, but it was going nowhere. And I took this job and it sounded great and it was more money and it was big city and it was fantastic. And then I got there and I just wasn't in love with what I was doing or the place. And so that worked out for about a year and a half. And then I moved back to Florida. And then when nobody wanted to hire me, I went into business for myself. But looking back, I got everything at that previous job that I needed. Maturity. I learned how to manage people. I learned how to put together plans. Everything teaches us something so we can move forward. I really believe that.
Do too. And I love the idea that, okay, so let's talk about what are kind of the steps. You have to imagine it first. You have to imagine what
Right.
you, and then do you write it down?
I would say yes. You may forget, or your tastes will change. And if anything, writing everything down makes it fun to look back. When you ultimately see what you have, then you're going, oh my God, this is not what I set out. The best words you can tell your future soulmate are, you are everything I didn't know I always wanted. That was another movie line. And that's probably 99.9% of the cases. We are given what we need that we didn't even know we wanted. So, yeah, figure it out and write it down.
Get clarity.
Get clarity. Bullet point that item. What is it exactly? It could be physical features, it could be emotional features, and keep it private and keep working on it. And as you meet people, you're like, wow, you may not even see it when you're out with people, but when you come back and you reflect on that date or that evening, you're like, wow, I really felt, go down your list, I really felt valued, I really felt secure, I really felt pretty in his presence.
So then, do we declare the intention aloud?
Always. And I tell people you have to speak things into existence. It doesn't have to be in front of an audience. It doesn't even have to be in front of a mirror. Just take that list that you read and speak it out loud. And the more you put stuff out into the universe, the more the universe will shift around you to assemble the pieces that you need to put you in place to receive that gift.
And one thing I have learned through the years, and my faith has stayed very strong, is turning everything over to God. I call my higher power God, and then letting it be. Like it's up to me to come up with what I think I want, declare it, get clear about it, and then say, okay, God, whatever you think is the best and highest good. Because what I have in mind, okay, I'll give you a perfect example. Before I got married to my children's father, I had my list of everything I wanted. And one of them was plays guitar.
Okay.
Okay. My former husband played the guitar. He hadn't picked it up since he was 16. He started playing the guitar. You're a guitar player, you know how bad it is when somebody is learning the guitar.
For other people, it's the worst.
Yes, and it was the blues. So it was.
I'm right literally there.
So I thought, I need to revise my list for next time if I want plays guitar well.
Right. Yeah, you gotta be specific, but look at what you learned.
Yeah, like I thought, okay, well, that was.
You know you're not gonna find your future soulmate at the House of Blues in Atlanta.
Well, no, a good guitar, a good blues guitarist, I love. No, I
So
might find them there.
you weren't opposed to the blues as much as the bad blues guitar riffs.
Right. It was the learning the blues because you just hear that same
Yeah.
riff over and over and over again. So we get clear and then. In my belief system, turning it over and letting the outcome just go about the rest of my life and letting the outcome manifest.
Right. You look for signs. You keep the declaration alive. One of the things that when I get people's attention for a good amount of time and I start trying to tell them the secrets that both you, me, and my wife have learned along the way about how the universe works. And I literally see eyes roll at, oh my gosh, this dude is enlightened and he's going to start spouting spirituality, religion. I can just tell you this, if you're in a bad enough place, you'll try it, but why not try it when you're in a good place? And just give it up, declare it out loud. And I've done all these things. This wasn't a temporary revelation for me. This was years of hearing it, not believing it, trying it out, seeing it work sometimes, and then sometimes not even expecting something, but getting something that I needed. This stuff really works. So, yes. Setting the intention, speaking it out loud, continuing to speak it out loud, and look for signs and share it along the way. One of the worst things that you can do is keep this all in. If someone says, Christy or Lily, how you doing? And or what are you doing these days? How often do we just say, oh, nothing? And then we move on to some other bland conversation. How about if you hit him with, "Hey, Lily, what are you doing these days? I'm actually looking for my soulmate." You've declared it out loud. You've also shared it. You've put it in the speakosphere, for lack of a better term. And you connected with somebody who might know somebody who might know somebody to bring you ultimately your soulmate. This is how it all works.
Oh my God, I just had a thought. It's like spiritual networking.
Yes, everything in the universe is connected electronically. There's an electricity in the universe that literally shifts, and you attract what you need out of literally thin air in the universe. Things will be sent your way, but you have to put it out there.
Okay, like everything good, it sounds easier than it is. It's simple, but it's not easy. I'd like to talk about the dark night of the soul and how to turn it around when we have a dark night of the soul and get ourselves back in a better place where we can create the future we want. We'll be back. Eddie and I'll be back. You're listening to Lili Logic. You can check us out at lililogic.com.